Would the behavior of a company owner affect your buying decisions? That was the conundrum facing my next guest. Great to welcome Polita Clark, columnist with the Financial Times, to the show. Good morning, Polita. How are you?
Hello, Bobby. Great to be with you.
You too. Now, you were a fan of Tesla. You first interacted with Tesla back in 2012. Tell us about your relationship with the brand.
So in 2012, when I was the Financial Times environment correspondent in London, we had a guest at the FT at our offices in Southwark, and his name was Elon Musk. Was not a household name at the time, but he'd come in because he wanted to talk to the editors about his electric cars and his ideas about traveling to Mars and all sorts of things. He left a lot of people slightly baffled, I have to say, particularly when it came to Mars. But I was just completely transfixed by the car that he came in on. It was one of his early Tesla models, and it was bright red. It looked amazing. I had read quite a bit about how this was the sort of car that could go from 0 to 60 in about the time it took to pronounce my name. And I was very excited about this. And also, I have to say, somewhat miffed when one of my colleagues, not me, got to actually have a drive in the car with Elon, who decided to go over to the other side of London and back. But so, you know, I was, all of which is to say, I was a big fan of Tesla and Elon Musk at the time, as many people were, because he was doing so many exciting things to shake up the car market.
Sure. So the central point here then, Polita, is that, you know, your relationship then, you wanted to buy a Tesla, you would have done anything to own one. But then you watch him as a leader and you watch his performance, commenting on all sorts of social issues, becoming very divisive, I suppose, publicly. And does it affect your relationship with the brand?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all watched Elon Musk go through a lot of very peculiar and interesting and contentious changes. And I think really, even when he started hitting out at various people, like, you know, people who were trying to save trapped kids in flooded caves, when all of that was happening, I thought, well, that's weird, that's wacky, you know, what's going on here? I mean, I knew, obviously, he was a very difficult man. I think it really, the thing that started to make me think, you know, I really don't want to have very much to do with Tesla, was when he mysteriously and completely inexplicably, actually, started commenting on the UK riots while they were going on the other week. And it was a really tense, difficult time. And he suddenly starts tweeting about how civil war is inevitable and all of that. You know, it was just like, here's this guy sitting in whatever home he's in, speaking in a way that's, or typing in a way that's incredibly inflammatory. And I just thought, you know, that's kind of it. I really don't care if I never have a Tesla now.
And doesn't it, I suppose, it, in one way, what he has done, he's created a market for electric cars. There are now loads of other options. So, you know, it becomes easy not to engage with him, because BMW and everybody else has a lovely electric car. That, so if you want an electric car, you're not basically, you don't have to deal with them. So it makes the purchasing decision somewhat easier, does it not?
It really does. I mean, you can go out and buy a really great car from most of the big car makers now, and you know that you're not necessarily buying it from someone who's going to be endorsing mad conspiracy theories on Twitter and basically endorsing lots of things that you don't necessarily want to endorse yourself and don't think are very necessarily healthy for democracy and the world in general. So, yeah, that's right.
Let's look at some parallels. If we talk about, you know, probably the one of the more famous people who talked about their own product in a derogatory way was Gerald Ratner. Again, I've heard him speak. I met him once or twice. And you remember he came out and said his products were cheap because they were total crap. And the damage he did to his own brand. Now, he's since become, I suppose, infamous for that. But, you know, you really do have to be careful about, you know, what you say publicly in relation to your own business.
Yeah, it is curious that Gerald Ratner, who, by the way, I've never met, but I would very much like to, because I think, you know, that whole incident where he really was, he was obviously joking in retrospect, I guess. He was only talking about some of his products, not the entire range. But he did make this joke, and I think it probably, with most people who heard it at the time, at this big speech that he was giving, when it was received as a joke. But I think there may have been underlying with the problems with the business in any case. But in any case, it is interesting that even today, all these years later, because that was back in 1991 when he made that joke, he still is seen as this kind of poster boy for what happens when you start to when you start behaving in a way that upsets customers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Musk is like Ratner, actually. I think he's quite different, because he would I can't bet on this, because you never know what Elon Musk would say or do, but I can't imagine him really attacking or belittling or making fun of his own car.
No, he talks up his own product, unlike Ratner, as you say.
Yeah, exactly.
Finally, can we just touch on Michael O'Leary, because he's in again somebody who is quite divisive and speaks very publicly. And you know, you may need to use O'Leary because he's cheaper and he's convenient. So sometimes you may not agree with him, but you may buy his product because it's good for you.
That is precisely right. I mean, it's an entirely different situation, because sometimes you really need to get a flight on Ryanair if you want to go from, I don't know, London to Seville or wherever, because it just suits you. The time's better. Whereas when it comes to buying a car, you've got a huge range of options there. So I think it's entirely different. And I'd also say that Michael O'Leary is someone who, you know, like Musk, is generally, for all of his polarizing comments and behavior, he's fundamentally trying to send the message that he sells really low cost flights. So That's really much unlike Elon.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. Polita Clark, columnist with the Financial Times. As always, a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.